With this year's Hall of Fame class already decided, it's time to look ahead at next year's ballot, where Adrian Beltre will finally be on the Hall of Fame ballot. We'll see how he stacks up with this competition and how obviously he should be a first ballot choice. All that and more on this episode of Locked On Rangers. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are locked onto the Texas Rangers. I'm Bryce Patrick, a cripplingly addicted Texas Rangers fan since 2010, the founder and host for all four seasons of this Locked On Rangers podcast. Thank you all so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen every single day. If you're not already, you can follow me on Twitter at Bryce Patrick. You can follow the show at Locked On Rangers. Like us on Facebook, and the best way you can help grow the show is to subscribe on YouTube and comment any single thing below. Before we get into Adrian Beltre Hall of Fame candidacy, this episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Now, Adrian Beltre is officially going to be on the Hall of Fame ballot for 2024, where I have to assume he is going to be a first ballot Hall of Fame choice. It is not going to be particularly close. I have done the research, and I will lay out his candidacy, because it is a very, very strong candidacy. Now, there are not a whole lot of third basemen in the Hall of Fame. In general, it is kind of an overlooked position. They just got one more, Scott Rolen, who was a longtime Cincinnati Red. He was with Philadelphia. He was with the Blue Jays, I believe, and he just got inducted this year, and he had a solid career. Nothing too fancy, nothing too crazy, kind of similar, albeit slightly worse than Adrian Beltre's. But I feel like that is a really, really great sign for Adrian Beltre's candidacy, because if Scott Rolen's getting in pretty early on his ballot, I think it was, I want to say that was his sixth year on the ballot. I think it won't take Adrian Beltre nearly that long to get up there. But just looking at the overall measures of Adrian Beltre's career, they are absolutely fantastic. According to Baseball Reference, had a career 93.5 WAR, 3,166 hits, 477 home runs, career slash line of 286, 339, and 480. That is an 819 OPS or a 116 OPS plus. If you like RBI, he has 1,707 RBI, 1,524 runs. He also has a crap ton of doubles, and that crap ton is 636 to go along with 38 triples. The guy was absolutely phenomenal. He has 5 gold gloves, 2 platinum gloves, a 4-time All-Star, which should be a lot more than 4 times that he was selected to be an All-Star, but that's a discussion for another day. Full-time Silver Slugger, and a 2-time Platinum Glove winner. This guy is absolutely phenomenal and was for the longest time, 21 years in the big league, got called up back in 1998 as a 19-year-old for the LA Dodgers, game called by Vin Scully, his first career hit being a double down the left field line, which also was where his 3,000th hit was, the exact same type, not in Dodger Stadium, but still pretty iconic moment there. But he played 21 years in the big leagues, 2,933 games. The guy was just absolutely at the top of his game. Like I said, there's not a whole lot of third baseman in the Hall of Fame. I'll go down the list. Some of these guys you will actually recognize. Hopefully there's Brooks Robinson, there's Mike Schmidt, there's Paul Molitor, Eddie Matthews, Chipper Jones, George Brett, Wade Boggs, Frank Baker, now Scott Rolen, and a few other guys from many, many moons back that are not necessarily super comparable with all of their stats because they played in different eras. But looking at these guys, and Adrian Beltre really stacks up with the best of them. He's one of the best third basemen of all time. I don't think people really give him nearly enough credit. I mean, you look at any metric. I mean, Baseball Reference WAR, he is third. The third best Baseball Reference WAR behind just Eddie Matthews and Mike Schmidt. If you look at defensive WAR, according to Baseball Reference, he is only second behind Brooks Robinson, who is pretty far and away decided the best defensive third baseman of all time. If you look at home runs, he is third. RBI, he is first. If you look at overall hits, he is second. He is just up there in all of these different counting stat categories. And I mean, he is just so, so, so high up there. And there's a clear and away reason. And not only that, I think that Adrian Beltre just in general doesn't get the love that he deserves. Because, I mean, for his career, it felt like for the most part he was a fairly quiet guy. He didn't really start getting the national love and attention until he came to Texas. He started his career with the Dodgers, was there for 7 years and 966 games. Then he signed a big, big deal after his career year that he never really repeated. In 2004, if you don't remember this, he was 25 years old. It was the final year with the Dodgers. He had 48 home runs, 200 hits, hit .334, on base of .388, slugged over .600, and OPS over 1,000, finished second in MVP voting, was not an all-star that year. He had 48 home runs and an OPS over 1,000 as a third baseman, was not selected as an all-star. He actually led the National League in home runs, but lost out to Barry Bonds in the MVP. Beltre had a 9.6 baseball reference WAR season. Barry Bonds had a 10.6 baseball reference WAR season. But Adrian Beltre outslugged prime Barry Bonds and still didn't end up getting the MVP because, well, Barry Bonds hit .360 and on base of .609 and slugged .812. It'll happen. But still, I mean, if not for Peak Bonds, then Beltre definitely would have had an MVP that year. Or if he moved to the American League that year, I'm pretty sure he definitely would have beaten anyone in that league. I mean, Vladimir Guerrero had a decent season where he ended up winning the MVP that year. But I mean, Adrian Beltre is just absolutely insane. He didn't quite ever come close to that kind of offensive firepower. He never had another season with an OPS over 1,000. Did have a few seasons with an OPS over 900 in 2010 with his 1 year with Boston, in 2012 in what was maybe his best year in Texas, and in 2017 as a 38-year-old, had a .915 OPS, granted in 94 games, but still 389 plate appearances. No small sample size there. But, I mean, he is one of the best third basemen of all time, and I really don't think that he gets nearly enough credit from outsiders. I mean, Rangers fans definitely know how great he is and how great he was with Texas. We'll look a little bit at his career with Texas in general and who his competition is on the ballot next year. But first, this episode is brought to you by FanDuel. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We are so excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they are the number one sportsbook in America. Yeah, that's right. It's FanDuel. And if you are new to FanDuel, that is even better. They have so many great features to make betting on sports fun and easy. Download the FanDuel app now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spread to who will score a touchdown. If you want to bet on old Pat Mahomes to score a few touchdowns, my boy, then that's probably a safe bet to do. You know, the FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Now, let's look at his competition. There are quite a few new names on the 2024 Hall of Fame ballot. Adrian Beltre is probably at the top of the list for the guys who are going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's also Joe Mauer, Chase Utley, David Wright, Bartolo Colon, Matt Holliday, Adrian Gonzalez, Jose Bautista, Jose Reyes, Victor Martinez, James Shields, Brandon Phillips, Denard Span, Chase Headley, Yovani Gallardo, and Doug Fister. So a lot of former Ranger greats on there. And if you haven't been paying attention to what the ballot has been for the last couple years, here is going to be who's still on it, who has already been on it. Todd Helton, who got 72.2% of the vote this year. By the way, you only need 75% of the vote to make it into the Hall of Fame. So he's he's almost assuredly going to get in next year. There's also Billy Wagner, Andrew Jones, Gary Sheffield, Carlos Beltran, Alex Rodriguez, Manny Ramirez, Omar Vizquel, Andy Pettit, Bobby Abreu, Jimmy Rollins, Mark Burley, and Frank Francisco, and Torrey Hunter. So if you want to look at how he compares to some of these guys, if you're looking at Baseball Reference War, which is probably his strongest metric, I mean, having 93.5 career Baseball Reference War is just absolutely insane. It shows how good he was for how long he was, and he really didn't drop off very much at all towards the end of his career. That is the second highest on the ballot, his 93.5 WAR. Can you guess who's ahead of him? And he's ahead by quite a bit. He's a former Ranger. Yeah, it's Alex Rodriguez at 117.6 career B WAR. I mean, Beltre's 93.5 career B WAR is just way, way, way up there. I mean, for anybody not involved in steroids, it's been a long, long time to have someone not tainted by the steroids era anywhere near his career Baseball Reference WAR. But I think that kind of goes to show like how good he was both offensively and defensively, which I think is his strongest case. I really don't think there's any scenario where he doesn't make it in the first year. It's just a question of how many people are going to vote for him. He should be a unanimous Hall of Famer first ballot. Like it should not be something that's particularly close. But I think there's always going to be somebody. There's always going to be some old geezer who hasn't watched baseball since, you know, 1952, who is still somehow alive and voting on a very important thing. And I used to get more upset about this than I have in a while. But, you know, I think that Adrian Beltre is absolutely going to be a Hall of Famer and should be a first ballot. And I'm going to be really pissed if he isn't. I mean, you look at some of the other guys that are on this list that are on the first ballot. I mean, he stacks up way ahead of most of these guys. Joe Mauer is the only one who I think is kind of comparable to him. I mean, Joe Mauer's peak was absolutely incredible. He has a lot higher of a career batting average, about 20 points higher. Mauer was just absolutely incredible. He kind of fell off fairly quickly, but for a catcher, he had some pretty darn good longevity. I mean, his peak was absolutely insane. 2009 Joe Mauer, when he hit 365 and on base in the 440s and slugged 587. I mean, it was just absolutely insane while being a Gold Glove catcher. Like his peak was absolutely phenomenal. I wish I could have seen it. Wish he could have sustained it for a little bit more. But again, being a catcher is so freaking hard. And the fact that he came up in the big leagues at age 21 as a catcher is really, really impressive. Some of the other guys that are probably going to be Hall of Famer. I don't know about Bartolo Colon. I really don't know. He pitched for so long. He's another guy who is tainted by steroids, but he pitched for approximately 87 years. Actually, 21 years was his career. I didn't realize that the Rangers were his last major league stop. I thought he had one more spot there. But yeah, it turns out the Rangers were his last stop. Interesting and intriguing career. Just one of the weirder careers on this ballot. There's also Chase Utley, who I think will definitely get some consideration. David Wright, who is also a third baseman, a slightly better offensive third baseman, didn't have nearly the longevity of Adrian Beltre. Played about a little bit more than half of the games that Adrian Beltre played was David Wright. A little bit better offensive numbers, an 867 career OPS, which is about 48 points higher than Adrian Beltre's. Look at me doing math off the top of my head. Matt Holliday is going to be kind of an interesting case. But a lot of these guys, I feel like about 50 to 60 WAR is about the cutoff. Mauer ended his career with 55.2 B WAR. Chase Utley is another interesting guy at another underutilized, underappreciated position at second base. He was just really, really good for so long. A 65.5 career baseball reference WAR. A guy who had 250 home runs, over 1,000 RBI. And an 823 OPS, which was 17% better than league average. So that's going to be a really, really interesting candidate. If you look kind of down the ballot, Giovanni Gallardo, that's going to be a guy who might get one vote. Jose Bautista being on the same ballot as him is kind of interesting. I don't know that I necessarily see Jose Bautista making it into the Hall of Fame, and I think that's fitting. He had a nice little peak there, but I don't think that he is anywhere near where Adrian Beltre is. But I think this is this has him pretty comfortably getting into the Hall of Fame. Let's look at some of the other guys and where he compares with them. I just think that Todd Helton is probably going to be the one who gets some of the most votes. Adrian Beltre might actually lead the votes in this category in this year on the ballot. I think he's a likable guy. He had a fairly long peak, and he was so darn good at the end of his career, which is such a really, really difficult thing to do. He spent the most time in Texas. I have to assume there's no way he's not going to wear a Rangers hat when he gets inducted. He played 1,098 games with the Rangers. He played 966 in 7 years with the Dodgers, 715 in 5 years with Seattle, and 154 in 1 year in Boston. The time in Seattle, I think, is really where people started to get down on him. He won a pair of gold gloves in Seattle, but his offensive numbers were just nowhere near where they were at literally any other spot. With the Dodgers, he had a 794 OPS, a 759 career OPS with Seattle, 919 for 1 year in Boston, and then 865 for his 8 years in Texas, which were the final years of his career. And he signed with Texas at age 32, and he had never been that good since basically his peak year with the Dodgers. I mean, he had a really, really great year in 2010 with Boston, signing that 1 year prove it deal with 49 doubles that year, which is just absolutely insane and a career high. But I mean, the fact that he was that missing, and he wasn't even the Rangers' first choice that year. He wasn't even the Rangers' first choice in free agency. It was because they missed out on re-signing Cliff Lee. They're like, all right, I guess we'll go get Adrian Beltre and have him be the greatest free agent signing in offseason in Rangers history. I mean, that's how freaking good he was, and he was absolutely beloved, and he was beloved in the clubhouse pretty much everywhere. And I just don't know why he didn't get that kind of respect and that kind of admiration while he was in LA, while he was in Seattle. I know the offensive numbers weren't great, but like, I mean, those Mariners teams weren't super great anyway. I mean, it was basically him and Ichiro. There wasn't a whole lot else going on there. And because they lost out on not paying old A-Rod, a few years later, they go and sign Adrian Beltre. They're like, all right, we got this guy coming off this amazing season. Maybe he'll hit 40 home runs for us. And he literally never hit 40 home runs again in his career. The most he hit outside of that 48-dinger season was 36 in 2012, which was, I'd say, his best year outside of that year. He had a 921 OPS, hit 321, 36 home runs, 33 doubles, 194 hits in 156 games. That year, he had a 7.2 baseball reference war. He had actually a higher baseball reference war in his one season in Boston at 7.8, and the only other year he had a higher B-War was the 9.6 year in 2004, when he would have won a silver or a MVP if not for old Barry Bonds. But I mean, just the consistency in his WAR every single year. I mean, once he got out of LA, every single year was 3 WAR or higher until his final season in Texas, the year where he played 119 games, had a 1.5 B-War. But actually, the lowest that he had was 3.3 B-War in the middle from Seattle to 2017, a 3.3 WAR where he had 111 games. He was still really, really good for Seattle. 5 WAR season, 3.8, 5.6. It's just a really underrated, undervalued kind of portion of his career. Still a 3.2 baseball reference war in his first year in Seattle. The offensive numbers weren't great, but he was still living up to that contract at that time. He was still a very, very good player. I think Seattle fans just didn't love him like Felix Hernandez did. Another underrated part of his career is his antics, just the fun he had on the baseball diamond. I mean, I keep seeing these clips. Pitching Ninja is the one who tweeted out of a couple at bats between Adrian Beltre and Felix Hernandez, one where Beltre just swung so badly at a curveball. It was hung really terribly badly, but it was just hung so badly that he didn't expect it. And he swung through it in a really ugly way. And Hernandez was just laughing his butt off on the mound a couple of times where he got him to ground out to second base. And Felix was kind of motioning to his leg because Beltre had some hamstring issues later on in his career. He's like, oh, slow down there, buddy. You don't want to pull a hamstring. And just the fun trash talk back and forth between them as the best of friends. And Adrian, every single pop-up at the left side of the infield, Adrian Beltre and Elvis Andrews just like faking like they're going to go for it. And the touching of his head and just every single thing about him was just made him so beloved. I don't remember seeing that many of his antics, the head touching thing. I don't think that happened until he went to Boston. I'm pretty sure everyone kind of knew about it in Seattle and nobody did it. And I think that what happened was Felix Hernandez called some guys in Boston's dugout when they signed him and said, hey, Adrian Beltre hates when his head's touched. So when he hits his first home run, take his helmet off and go touch his head and he's going to hate it. And it's going to be hilarious. And that's exactly what they did. And whoever was in Boston or just Elvis was paying attention to what was happening when he was in Boston. And as soon as he came to the Rangers, Elvis just became his little brother slash little pest of, you know, just getting under his skin just a little bit. And there's that famous gif of when Elvis just patted the back of his head with his glove and Beltre tries to, you know, hit him with his glove and then takes his glove off and throws it at him. Like, it's just those little things that, I mean, to me, it takes them over the edge. There's a bunch of different things that people consider of what is a Hall of Famer, but in terms of just fun and appreciation of the game and like making you love baseball, I mean, 2017 and 2018, those were a little bit of rough years for the Rangers. They weren't good. They weren't over 500. They missed out on the playoffs for first time, well, in a while. It kind of felt like the run was finally ending. And you knew Adrian Beltre was going to hang it up eventually. But seeing him on those last 2 years, in his last 2 years, every single day, you wanted to watch Rangers baseball because Adrian Beltre, or maybe Adrian and Elvis, were going to do something funny or ridiculous that you haven't seen before, like the moving of the on-deck circle and getting kicked out for that, or bringing a rake onto the field to try and not get dumped with a water cooler. Like, just things like that that make you love and appreciate the game of baseball that I think are really underrated and a part of why everyone loves Adrian Beltre. He makes you love baseball, and those are the best kinds of baseball players, whether they are necessarily the best of all time. I mean, Adrian is probably not the best third baseman of all time. If I were putting him in this ranking, I'd honestly put him third, and where his baseball reference war ranks him behind Mike Schmidt and Eddie Matthews. I mean, his offensive numbers, he's not the best offensive third baseman of all time. He's not the best defensive third baseman of all time. But he's top three in both those categories. I would say that he is the most balanced third baseman of all time. I mean, Mike Schmidt was a guy who was pretty darn good defensively, but his peak, I don't think, was quite as good as Adrian Beltre's. Offensively, he's quite a ways away from Adrian Beltre. Like, he is so consistent. I mean, multiple 40 homer seasons, 48 homers, 45 homers, 40 homers. Just did that all the time. A 908 career OPS. He did it for 18 seasons, so he also did it for a long time. A little bit more love in the All-Star voting. Even his final year at age 39, when he only played 42 games, and had a 668 OPS. He got an All-Star selection, and Beltre, there were plenty of years where Beltre did not get an All-Star selection where I thought he should, including 2 years, where he, 3 years, actually, where he finished top seven in MVP voting, but did not get an All-Star appearance. I mean, he had an 880 OPS in 2013 with the Rangers. He finished seventh on the MVP ballot and did not get an All-Star invitation. He finished seventh in MVP voting in 2015 with a 788 OPS, but still a lot of defensive value and a lot of value to a team that ended up winning their division. Did not get an All-Star vote that year. Didn't win a Gold Glove that year either, which, again, the amount of Gold Gloves that he also missed out on is just kind of insane. The fact that he only has five, but two of those were Platinum Gloves. Part of that was Manny Machado was being amazing at third base, but still, Adrian Beltre was absolutely amazing as well. And in 2016, the final playoff year of his career, where he finished seventh in MVP voting, ended up with a Gold Glove, probably should have had a Silver Slugger, 879 OPS that year, hit 300 on base, just shy of 360, and had 32 home runs, didn't get an All-Star nomination. absolutely insane, absolutely bonkers that he did not get an All-Star nomination that year. I really have absolutely no idea why he wasn't an All-Star that year. He should have at least 7 or 8 or 10 or 100 All-Star appearances, but, you know, who am I to be the judge, jury, and executioner of that? Well, it's my podcast, so that's where I'll be judge, jury, and executioner. But it's fun to reminisce on such a fun player. He spent 8 seasons with the Rangers, who is just absolutely phenomenal. 199 career home runs with the Rangers. I really wish he could have had just one more, just for numbers' sake. And if you look at where he ranks in Baseball Reference War among the Rangers, 41.1 career Baseball Reference War, which is third behind just Pudge at an even 50 and Rafael Palmeiro at 44.6. He was only here for 8 seasons, not even his entire career. He is already top 3. He was just such a fun joy to watch, such an incredibly dominant player, and someone who made you love the game of baseball. He has got to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. If he's not unanimous, I'm going to be mildly disappointed, but if he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, I'm going to have a lot of strongly worded letters to write to every single person who does not vote him first ballot on their Hall of Fame vote. Thank you. That is going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rangers. Thanks for making it your first listen every day. For your next listen, go check out Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia. He is going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It is free and available wherever you get your podcasts. I'm recording this in a new kind of software, hoping to get some more fancy graphics and stuff for the season. We'll see when all that happens. There might be a little bit of issues in the next coming weeks as I am learning this new system, but I'm hoping that it just ends up being that much higher quality. So if there are some snafus, ask for just a little bit of leniency and patience, and really appreciate all y'all listening and subscribing. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.